share with me in prayer. So engage these moments, O gracious God, by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that in the hearing of the word we might receive it, and in receiving your word we might believe it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit we might fulfill all it means for our hearts and lives. For it is in that beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ the Lord we pray. Amen. This week I'm on schedule again to be down with the folks at Newtown United Methodist Church. So don't panic when you see me slip out the back door. I'm not going to early brunch. You would know well that I arrived 3 minutes early last week, prayed with the choir, walk through the back door as if it wasn't 3 minutes before start time, and we got through the service without a hitch. That's pretty good. This morning, I want to engage you out of the writing of the letter to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, called to believe and to experience the outpouring of God, of what it means to be blessed, chosen, and adopted. Now, I'm curious how many of you will admit that when you've been a part of the selection of teams, there's this little moment of apprehension that you have that you might not be the first chosen. And that some of you, as the selection of teams go, might not find yourselves chosen in the middle of that select group. And how many of you would admit this morning that you likely are the person chosen at the end when everyone else has been picked? They look over at you and say, "You join the other team because that's more helpful for us." Anybody willing to be in that category this morning? See, there are a few truth tellers out there. You've lived through that challenge of what it means to experience being chosen. And for some of us, it's a harrowing experience. And yet the writer to the church at Ephesus, and most importantly to us this day, acknowledge that this choosing is not because you and I have the skill and talent to make God's team better. And it's not because you and I play a strategic advantage into how God would knit together the people of faith. It has everything to do with God's choosing of us and placing within us a context in which we can be nurtured and nurture and love ourselves as only God would choose to make us. Blessed, chosen, adopted. Listen to those three words that the writer to the church at Ephesus calls us to today. The first word is blessed, and the writer says the reason why you and I are blessed is because we offer a blessing to God because He's chosen us. He's claimed us as His own. He's set us apart, not because we are good or better than another, but God has chosen us because of the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, our first response is to bless the Lord, the God who has chosen and claimed us. This blessing of God is an outpouring of praise that acknowledges that in our adoption as God's children, our sense of being included into God's family should first and foremost be one of worship and praise. God is to be blessed because He's the adopting agent. His mercy on display out of his selection and choosing means that we are then worthy to express worship. We who are rebels against God, we who are the least of God's children, are found to be welcome at God's table because God chooses, not because we're a strategic advantage for God. Our adoption means that you and I lack nothing. Listen to how the writer says, we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That doesn't mean that we have a storehold of stuff here and it is overflowing. It has everything to do with our eternal significance, claimed and chosen and adopted by Christ. We therefore lack nothing, because out of this mercy, out of this grace, you and I can extend that quality of adoption, that sonship and daughtership before God, as being part of who we are as a community of faith, including and directing us, knitting us together. Your adoption isn't just for your personal advantage. Your adoption is a deliberate act by God. God didn't accidentally or casually choose us. He picked us in the good news of the gospel. Did you hear how the writer said we were chosen before the foundations of the world? That was before God even saw us, made us. God would still seek to include us and unite us into this wondrous plan, because out of this work, you and I are extended as God's children, a place not because of our good choice, but because God's choosing of us. It is that nature of God that the writer here pleads for us to understand, that we weren't merely selected because there is some work that you and I are to do on behalf of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is to invade our lives to then use us as adopted children. And this adoption, as the writer says, is not by our choosing, it's by God's selection. This selection, this being destined before the foundations of the world, acknowledges that even in the ancient time, in the first century church, adoption was typically practiced for one strategic reason. A couple who would not have children would have no place to leave their inheritance, and equally, more importantly, when they became so feeble and frail, there was no one that would take them and care for them until they passed. So adoption seemed to be the natural sense out of which you and I could discover our basic humanity and the passing on from one generation to the next, the blessings of God. Adoption, though, can still be found within the Old Testament framework. It was seen within the life of Moses, one of the figurative characters of the Old Testament. He would be placed in the bulrushes, hidden there to try and protect him, since there was this order that all male children of the Hebrews be slain. Adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, he shrouded in protection and would ultimately begin to be that figure out of which God would lead to the forgiveness and the restoration of the people of Israel. Another important Old Testament figure who was adopted is the heroine Esther. She would, after losing her family, be claimed by Mordecai and therefore brought in as a wondrous gift to the people of Israel and to the opportunity that they might be spared as a nation and as a people. For you and me, adoption may not just simply be seen as a certificate that is signed or a decision that's made by a magistrate or a judge. No, if adoption is merely left to the human invention or to the need out of which we would pass one generation on to the other, we miss the very nature of the biblical quality of adoption. Because adoption is not done by the sound of a gavel. Adoption, according to the writer of Ephesians, and for us this day, adoption is done through the cross of Christ. That claim of Christ in and through our lives sets the stage out of which you and I are then drawn into the mercy and majesty of God. Not by some edict, not by some human relationship, but by Christ Himself. Our adoption is God's instrument at work in us through Christ Jesus. He's made us brothers and sisters, one with Christ and one with each other. Thus, your adoption does not culminate in the gavel, but in the cross. And if in the cross, then out of the mercy and majesty of God, the care of one another. You know, the really amazing fabric of the life of the church is this sense of community and being adopted into that family. That adoption takes on many different forms. For some people, adoption would rather be left to the work of others. You know, it's up to the pastors to notice who's missing this morning, and we're to go home and call all of them and tell them they were missed. Such an idea is folly to the adoption of God. For you and me, if we are adopted, then if we notice someone is not sitting next to us, that's our brother or that's our sister because of Jesus Christ. It's not left to a committee or a staff person to seek us out. It is to be claimed upon the hearts of all of us to note who is not among us. It's also wonderful when the fabric of the church surrounds each other in a tapestry of love that would not seek to leave us to bloodlines, but would allow us to know the mercy and majesty of God, who claims us as God's very own. This adoption, thus, is an evidence of God's love, not of human relationship or base family instinct. This love is the only reason why we're given in the Scriptures, God adopts us. We no longer need to be afraid of sin or trapped in loneliness or unsure of our salvation. You were adopted so that you might be blameless, the writer of Ephesians says. This gift of salvation is written by Paul elsewhere to the letter to the Galatians in the 4th chapter this way. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir through Christ Jesus. An heir, eternal life, the gift of God's big salvation plan, the work of God's redemptive majesty. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, there is a special place called an orphanage. There's one of three ways children would end up at this orphanage, according to Bishop Natumba and the nature of this community. This group of children, mainly spanning elementary age, would typically be managed and run by a 16-year-old young man and a 16 or 13-year-old girl. Imagine parental responsibility for children that would number nearly 40 to 50 in an average accumulation at this orphanage. This orphanage would not be seen as this place of destitute, sovereign poverty. No, there are three ways in which children would arrive there. The first and maybe most tragic is the nature of the civil war that happens within the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where there are tribal factions that would cause and stir against other people, and your parents are killed as a result of war. A second reason why you might find yourself as an orphan in this orphanage is because of the ravages of disease, particularly and specifically the largest one being HIV. Miraculously, some of these children are born even to HIV mothers and yet escape the ravages of that disease, while others still would find the battle that they themselves would have to fight all the rest of their years. This disease would take mother and father far too quickly. And the third and maybe most significant and simplest reason is the nature of poor, nutritious meals. There's a lack and a scarcity of food to such a degree that when they were starving as a people, the children would ultimately be left and the parents would succumb to the simple qualities of a nutritious meal. And thus the children would be left at the orphanage that someone might sustain, as the scripture says, with a cup of cool water. As you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And yet in my Western mind, I often saw that orphanage and those individuals as being persons out of which you and I might have a need to extend the nature of adoption and to bring them someplace safe and to a home that they would gather in. That would be a Western understanding of adoption. Bishop Natumba said, "We really don't want to lose our children to foreign families, even though some might think that's the best place for them. We'd rather keep them in a community out of which we can continue to care for them and extend the nature of their culture and their people and their faith. We don't see it as a hardship for them to be in an orphanage. We see it as God's place where God adopts all of his children and claims them as our own." Changed my understanding that we weren't as foreign families able to claim and adopt. We were ones who were then challenged and offered through our support of the United Methodist Church and orphanages like that one, that you and I could extend God's mercy and grace to them. One of the most amazing items was the example of the 16-year-old that was leading that community of spiritual souls. He would set an example that ultimately he would go off to college so that they too might emulate his same example. They might be teachers of the younger students, that they might ultimately grow to that position of responsibility and care, and that they too might be able to demonstrate God's redemptive adoption. Would seem simple, Bishop Natumba said. It merely costs approximately $350 for one of these children to go away for a year of college. He knew it was a simple ask. It wasn't an opportunity that we'd have to leave them someplace. that we likely spend more than $350 a year if we brought them and included them into our families. God's provision had a way of adopting and claiming us because God, from the very beginning, chose us, loved us, and holds us dear because we're adopted into Christ Jesus, not into earthly families or small communities. Maybe you and I might recognize we're not the extent of God's families with our own nuclear families. But as a community of believers, we are blessed, chosen, and adopted, claimed to be God's children, and if God's children, then heirs to life eternal. May it be so. Amen.